Please get your Bibles out, and if you don't mind, and open up to the book of Matthew, and also have your finger in Luke 21 so that you can go back and forth. We're starting today through the month of October to speak on the subject of the signs of Christ's soon coming. I've been doing this every October, and I look forward to it every year. I've been doing this every October since 1982. And I have been keeping track of things for decades of what's happening and why it's happening and where it's happening and all that sort of thing. I started preaching on the second coming of Jesus every October. Can anybody guess why? Because it was in October of 1844 that Millerite people all over North America and also around the world were looking for the coming of Jesus way back then, and they thought it was going to happen on October 22, 1844. And you immediately, if you're a Bible student, you go, well, wait, didn't somewhere in the Bible, didn't Jesus say no one knows the? Yeah, see, you know that verse. And you would think, well, they would know that verse, but they said, well, the way they explained that away was they said, well, he didn't say you wouldn't ever know the day or the hour. That's how they explained it away. It was just like, saying, well, you know, but we are that generation that gets to know the day and the hour. That's kind of how they looked at it. But like many predictions since that time, unfortunately, Jesus didn't come on October 22. Well, unfortunately for them, fortunately for me, because if he had come in 1844, I wouldn't have been born to be a part of that eternal experience. Can you say amen to that? Because I assume everybody here was born after 1844. I'm pretty sure that's the case. And so I'm glad that he didn't come then, because now we all get to be a part of that. But not too long ago, in fact, just this last week, did you catch that? I think it was actually 2 weeks ago. Did you catch the thing that was just taking the internet by storm about how all the planets are going to be in alignment and the world's going to end? How many of you saw that or heard that? See, okay, I knew there had to be some of you. That's the third time in my lifetime that people have said that Jesus was going to come or the world was going to end because the planets were all in alignment. I can remember there was a really big discussion about that back in the 90s, how all the planets were going to be in alignment, and that meant that the world was going to come to an end. And then I also remember that when I was my very first pastor experience, I wasn't even graduated from theology yet, but in Grants Pass, Oregon, I had the privilege of spending a summer with Charles Brown, who some of you may know. He, not Charlie Brown of the cartoons, but Charles Brown, a pastor, and his wife Marjorie. They were pastoring in that part of the state down in Grants Pass. And I got to spend the summer with him as part of my education. And as I was working with him, I saw a man on the streets of Grants Pass walking along with sandals and a white gown and a long beard and long hair. And, of course, long beard and long hair was pretty common in those days, but he was all dressed up that way. And one day there, I saw another guy following him all dressed in white, and then another person, then a lady and a couple of other ladies. First thing I know, there's like a dozen people following him around the streets in Grants Pass all dressed in white robes. They were getting ready for the imminent coming of Jesus that they thought was going to happen like right away. And so one night at prayer meeting time, when I came to prayer meeting, they were all camped out on the front lawn of the church, all of them there. They were sitting there talking, and I thought, well, you know, the gospel of the kingdom must be preached to every person. And I thought, well, I will invite these people to come in. So I went out there, and I said, we're getting ready to have a meeting. Would you like to come in? And the man informed me that he didn't need to go to any meetings or to study the Bible or any of those things, because he knew it all. And because, this is what he said, because he knows it all already. And he said, we are ready for translation. You should come be with us. And I said, I think you and I have a difference of opinion. And we talked for a little while, and it became clear that he knew that Jesus was coming like right away, and he was ready to go, and he thought that everybody in all the churches wasn't ready to go, and that they should all be following him. And so I remembered how Jesus said that as we get toward the end of time, there would be many people who would say, follow me, because I'm the person who knows how you need to live so that you are ready for Jesus to come. So we have all this stuff going on year after year. So every October, I preach on the second coming of Jesus and look forward to it because there's never a lack of sermon material when it comes to preaching on the second coming of Jesus. And Jesus said that there would be certain things that were going to happen. So I have a question for you. How many of you like roller coasters? How many of you like? Raise your hands. Come on. All right. Have you been over to Silverwood in Idaho? How many of you have been to Silverwood? Oh, yeah, that's a great place to go. They have some of the old-fashioned type roller coasters. So now, I have never been on any of the Six Flag roller coasters or any of those kind of things, the ones that practically take you into the stratosphere and then drop you like a rock. I've never been to any of those, but I like roller coasters. I've been on roller coasters. Now, we always marry opposites. So guess who doesn't like roller coasters in our home? Yeah, of course. Okay, so you're probably, if you like roller coasters, you're probably married to somebody who doesn't care for them too much. But the thing about a roller coaster is there's that anticipation, you know? Up you go, you know, they start you out and you get on this thing, this conveyor belt that just sort of pulls you up, 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 way up high, and then down you go. And then you see the kids put their hands up like this, you know, and all that. Some adults try to do it too. Some go like this and go like that. And, you know, then down they go. And the one of the ones in Silverwood, it goes down into a hole in the ground, and that's always kind of fun. And down you go, and then through the dark, and then up you come again, and way up, 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 and then down you go again. Some of you are feeling that in pit of your stomach thing right now, aren't you? Up you go, down you go. Roller coasters. And people who don't like roller coasters, they are individuals who really don't like to be scared. They don't like to be scared. Or they don't like that feeling of being scared or being out of control, and that's okay. I was talking to a young lady one time, and she was telling me she was getting ready to go to a big theme park, and she was really looking forward to this big, gigantic roller coaster. And I said, "You like roller coasters?" She, "Yeah, I like roller coasters." "Why do you like roller coasters?" She says, "Scary. It's so scary." I said, "You like being scared?" She, "Yeah, I like being scared," she said. 12-year-old little girl. I like being scared. How many of you like being scared? Oh, okay. There's some of you are afraid to raise your hand. Okay. It's okay. But you know, I like being scared. And so they just look forward to that feeling. They'd scream and all that. Well, there are people who, when you talk about the second coming of Jesus, there are people who are, it's like roller coasters. There are people who go, "I can't wait to study this. I can't wait to anticipate this. I can't wait to talk about this." And then there's people like my wife who don't like roller coasters, who go, "I don't really want to get scared. I don't really want to hear all the scary things." And actually, my wife says she'd like to pass away before the end time events take place because she doesn't want to go through it. How many of you can relate to her and are willing to admit that you'd just as soon pass away? Yeah, I mean, quite a few of you. And I have a friend who feels the same way. Now, in my case, I want to go through it. I want to see it happen. I want to experience it. But there's a lot of people who don't. And that's based on maybe what you've heard, maybe what you think you know. So let's take a look at it today. Some of these things might surprise you. There, the book of Matthew 24 and the chapter in Luke 21, you can divide up the things that Jesus said about the end time into three parts. There are things that he said about the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. There are things he had to say about indicators of his return. And there are other things that he had to say about the end of the world. Now, when the disciples in Matthew 24, verses 1 to 3, if you're looking there in your Bible, when they came to Jesus, they said, "Tell us." He had just said to the disciples, "See all these stones in the temple? There's coming a time when not one stone will be left upon another." And that happened in AD 70 when the Roman armies came and they conquered Jerusalem. And they weren't supposed to. They had an order to not touch the temple. But some soldier, I don't know, somehow, some way, a torch got thrown in there. And all that cedar caught fire. And then all the gold melted. And when the gold melted, and that was a pretty hot fire because gold melts at about 2,400 degrees Fahrenheit. And so that was a pretty hot fire in there. And it seeped into the cracks of the stones. And so the Roman soldiers, in order to get that gold out of those stones, they used levers and big, you know, as much muscle power as they could, pried every single stone off to get the gold out from between those stones in the temple. So the words of Jesus came to pass exactly what he said. There will come a time when not one stone will be left on top of the other. And the disciples were just flabbergasted. They couldn't possibly believe that something like that would happen. Well, you could understand. I mean, what if somebody had told you in the year 2000 that next year those trade centers would be a pile of rubble? You know, would you have believed them? You probably wouldn't have. You would have said, yeah, this guy, you know. But Jesus said, not one stone will be left upon another. And these are some of the remnant stones from the temple that you're looking at there. Not one stone was left upon another. So they said, well, tell us, when will this be? And while you're at it, what will be the sign of your coming? And if you don't mind, the end of the world. And so Jesus, in response to their questions, gives a series of answers in Matthew 24 and Luke 21. Well, we're not going to talk about the temple today, but we are going to talk about what he had to say about his coming. Now, some people, especially today, understandably, it makes sense because they're intelligent people, they ask the question, you know, it's been a long time since Jesus said he would come back, over 2,000 years. How can I, living in 2017, how can I be sure that he is really coming again? How can I, as a person living at this point, when so many generations of Christians have looked forward to his second coming, what makes me think that I can have confidence and as a young person be able to say that I think Jesus is coming soon? So over the next three Sabbaths today, we're going to be talking about the signs in nature that are really a big deal that Jesus talked about. Next week, we're going to talk about things happening with people that Jesus said to look forward to look to watch out for. And then 3 weeks or 2 weeks from today, we're going to talk about things in religion that Jesus said we needed to be thinking about. So first of all, in Luke 21, verse 25, Jesus said, there will be signs. Now, it's showing up on my pad, but it's not showing up on your screen. I'm not sure why that is happening. But in Luke 21, verse 25, it says there will be signs that Jesus is coming back. He said there are things to look forward to. There are some people who say, well, you can't ever really know. But that's not what Jesus said. Luke, take a look at Luke 21, 25. Look at your Bible. And he said there will be indicators. There will be evidence. There will be signs that you can look forward to say that his coming is near. So it's intelligent on our part to say, okay, what are those indicators? What are those signs that legitimate things? We don't want to talk about the planets being lined up. We don't want to talk about anything that is, you might say, extreme or fanatical. That doesn't do anybody any good. But if we can find a match for what Jesus said, and in our time, and say, hey, okay, that matches what he said, and it's reasonable, then we can say, okay, that makes sense. Jesus said to look out for these things, so we're going to look out for those things. Now, you can take the signs in nature, and today we're talking about the signs in nature. You can take those, I've divided them into three things. Normal stuff, normal scary stuff, really scary stuff, and supernaturally scary stuff, okay? So you can just take those three things in your mind. Jesus said there were going to be some things that were going to happen in his day and that were going to happen in every generation, and they would keep happening until Jesus would come again. It's sort of like red hair. Your grandpa had red hair. Your father had red hair. You have red hair, and your kids have red hair. How does that? Well, it's in the DNA. So Jesus said in the DNA of this world, there are certain things that were happening in his day and that were always going to happen, but he added a little thing to it. He said, but it's going to increase. So instead of having a kid that has blonde hair and a kid that has red hair and a kid that has, you know, dishwater blonde hair, you got three kids with red hair. Jesus said it like that. He said, there's going to be things that are going to keep happening, but toward the end, it's going to happen more frequently. It's going to happen more and more broadly. It's something that you can see that's going to happen more often. That's just normal stuff. So in Matthew 24, if you take your Bible again and turn to verse 7 and 8. Matthew 24, verse 7 and 8. It says there will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world. Now, what does he say after that? He says, but all this is only the first of the birth pains with more to come. And then he said, don't be alarmed. Some Bibles, he puts it this way. He says, don't be alarmed. Don't make a big deal about it. If you're a preacher, don't be running around and being like Henny Penny and saying, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. Or don't be like the boy who cried wolf, you know. He said, don't be like that. He said, these things have happened. They are going to happen. They're going to continue to happen. So even Jesus himself, he said, there are certain things, earthquakes are a part of this world. They've happened before. They're going to happen again. And he said they're going to happen in different parts of the world. He said, you're going to see that. But as he continued on, if you look at it, especially in the grammar of the Greek, he emphasized that toward the end, it'll be more frequent and it'll have more significant effect upon people. So in Luke 21, verse 29, take a look there. So I told you to keep your finger in Luke because you're going to be going back and forth. So, yeah, I've done that a couple of times, guys. I'll do it again. So in Luke 21, verse 9, it says, do not be terrified about these things, the normal scary stuff. Storms are scary. Earthquakes are scary. And when it happens to you, it's pretty scary. I remember in my life, I've been in 3 tornadoes. They never touched down near me. In every case, they went over my head. So if you are worried about being in the Midwest with the tornadoes, just hang out with me. The tornadoes always go over my head, right? So far, I can remember a tornado touched down just a mile from where we live, completely destroyed the local airport. And during that storm, the trees, the big old huge trees, they were just laid over like stepping on grass. I mean, they were just laid over like that. It was amazing to see that. Kind of, and the green, you know, when the tornado is out and you're looking in the sky, there's this green kind of hue everywhere when the lightning flashes, you know. So that's scary stuff, and it is scary stuff, and you should take it seriously. But it's normal scary stuff. It happens every year. It happens in different places in the U.S., but there's tornadoes every year. Same thing is true about earthquakes. I grew up in California, Southern California. Earthquakes were a part of life. You would feel a tremor every month or so. You'd feel a tremor. It would be just a little, and that was it, you know. That was a Richter scale 4 or whatever, and they would tell you. And you would feel it all the time. If you grew up in Southern California, you get used to earthquakes. So every part of the world has something like that. Jesus said, these things are going to happen. But then he said, don't be terrified, for these things must come to pass first. Luke 21, verse 9. But the end will not come immediately. But he did say, especially if you know the language, he said, you can expect to see these things happen more frequently as time goes by in different parts of the world. And you can expect it to have greater magnitude. And so then that takes us to the next thing, the scary stuff, normal scary stuff, and then the really scary stuff. And so in Luke 21, verse 11, notice what he said. And it doesn't say this in Matthew, but it does say this in Luke. It says in Luke 21:11, there will be what? Great earthquakes. Now, scientists consider a great earthquake to be, seismologists consider a great earthquake to be anything that is 8 points on the Richter scale. And you realize that a point on the Richter scale means 1,000 times worse than like 0.7. So 0.8, 8 on the Richter scale is like 1,000 times worse than any 7, all right? So he said, now this is interesting because he said, great earthquakes, and you put that together with what he said, more of them and more massive, then I'll give you an assignment. I'm not currently able to put the graphic up on the screen, so I give you an assignment. You can Google this easily. Just say, what is the occurrence or the frequency of great earthquakes in history? Just take a look at it. Go ahead and Google it when you get home. You can Google it right now as far as I'm concerned. I don't mind if you look it up right now on your phone or on your pad. It's totally okay. I see people bringing their phones and their pads. I have people say, Pastor, is it okay if I use my phone and my pad when I'm talking? Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead, because that way when you look it up right here, you know that I'm not pulling the wool over your eyes. So feel free to look it up. And so I see your head down. As long as your eyes are open, I won't think you're asleep, okay? So feel free to do that. In fact, I've been talking to the guys. What I would like to do eventually is be able to allow you to text me a question right in the middle of what we're talking about, so that if you have something that comes up, you can say, hey, wait, what about this? And I don't mind pausing. That, and if I don't get all the way through my sermon, it's okay. You just get the second dose next week. That's all. So, you know, it'll be all right. But I like interaction, and I don't mind questions. So we're talking about how to make that work. But Luke 21:11, it says there will be great earthquakes. So Google that. Find out, what is the frequency of great earthquakes? Here's what you'll find out. Since the year 1900, in the 1900s, when they really had the science in place to be able to measure and tell you, the earthquakes have become exponential. More and more earthquakes. Greater magnitude and more earthquakes all over the surface of the world. So just like Jesus said, that just at the end of time, there was going to be a greater magnitude of earthquakes, more frequent earthquakes, and other natural disasters. Now, the one that happened in Japan just 6 years ago, that was a really massive earthquake. It moved the whole island of Japan like 9 feet or something like that. Moved the whole thing, the whole island. Massive earthquake. And the tsunami that followed was just an amazingly terrible tragedy that took place. And years later, we're still getting debris from the ocean on the shores of, you know, of our west coast from the things that happened back then. Terrible, terrible thing. And then, of course, that terrible tsunami that killed 250,000 people in 2006 from that earthquake that took place in Indonesia. I heard a guy on the news, as I keep track of these things, like I told you, and I was listening to this guy on the Weather Channel, and he was saying, you know, these were his words. He said, these things are happening so frequently now, he said, with such magnitude, he said, I'm running out of ways to describe how bad it is. Now, and get this, if you live in Florida, you cannot get hurricane insurance. There are places in the southern part of the U.S. that get hit by hurricanes, Texas and Louisiana. If you live there, especially if you live toward the coast, you cannot get hurricane insurance because they know in the next year or two you're going to get hit. And right now, the hurricane that is Nate, its line is headed right toward Louisiana again, headed right there. You can't get insurance for that stuff if you live there. It's hard to get earthquake insurance in California. And why is that? Because the underwriter, you should look this up too. You guys who are good with finance, you should look this up. The people who underwrite the insurance for all of these claims, they're not doing it anymore. People that have the money to underwrite insurance companies are stopping that because they cannot afford the losses. Some of the largest, like Rothschilds, some of the largest companies in the world are starting to diminish or stop their underwriting of insurance companies for these types of things because they can't afford the losses. The Red Cross issued a statement about 2 years ago in which they said that the loss of human life and the damage done to people is so great around the world from these things, that these natural disasters, that they are not able to respond as they once did and guarantee the help that people need in those situations. I feel really sorry for the people of Puerto Rico right now. Don't you? To have a whole country completely without power, completely without infrastructure for cleanliness, for food, for shelter. I don't even have descriptors for that. You know, Ellen White once said that entire cities would be swept away. The Bible talks about islands being destroyed. Puerto Rico is pretty well destroyed. The Bible talks about that. It mentions specifically mountains and islands being moved. Did you hear that? The Bible specifically says that mountains and islands would be what? Moved. Isn't that what happened to Japan? It got moved. Isn't that right? Jesus said that was going to happen. He said, you should be looking at these things. You shouldn't be like, oh yeah, another hurricane. Oh yeah, another. No, he said, notice, it's going to happen. It's going to keep happening. But toward the end of time, it's going to get worse. It's going to get more frequent. Greater magnitude of trouble is going to occur just before Jesus comes. So when you take a look at all of this stuff, I've got this thing here from the AccuWeather channel that I thought was interesting. It said that a steady increase in climate-related natural disasters. And then it gives a graph. And the graph is really, it's like in, what does it show here? In 1990, they have, if you look at this graph, it's like this high. And then now in 2017, it's like this high. It's, you know how exponential curves go, right? You know, you go along like this, and you have this and this and this, and it just gradually increases, and then all of a sudden, goes up. That's an exponential curve. That's what natural disasters are doing, according to NOAA, you know, N-O-A-A, and according to the Weather Channel, and according to seismologists and climatologists. They're showing that there's this exponential increase in natural disasters. So in Luke 21:11, it says there will be great earthquakes in various places. And then it adds another thing. And how does your Bible? My Bible puts it, fearful sights and what? And great signs from where? What does your Bible say? Mine says from heaven. Does your Bible say from heaven? It says there's going to be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. So Jesus said there's going to be normal bad stuff. There's going to, everywhere. He said, there's going to be earthquakes, always. There's going to be storms, always. There's going to be stuff like this, always. He said, but there's coming a time when it's going to be really bad stuff. It's going to happen more frequently, and it's going to be worse in its magnitude. But then he said, and eventually he says here, it's going to be supernatural. You're going to see terrible things. They're going to have a supernatural aspect to it. Right there it says it in the Bible, Luke 21, verse 11. Fearful sights and great signs from heaven. People are going to realize that this is something that is not according to something you can't explain by geology. Because what are they saying right now? They're saying right now, climate change. Climate change is the reason why all these things are happening. And they're saying, we're ruining the environment by our carbons and toxins and all this. And because of that, nature is going out of control and you're having all this stuff. That's what they're trying to explain it scientifically. Okay. But pretty soon, it's not going to be scientifically explainable. Pretty soon, you're going to start seeing stuff that is supernatural in its origin. And then that is really going to freak people out. So here's a quote for you from the book Maranatha. So that's the book Maranatha, page 210. Maranatha, page 210. It says, I seemed to awake from sleep, but was not in my home. From the windows, I could behold a terrible fire. Great balls of fire were falling upon houses. And from these balls, fiery arrows were flying in every direction. It was impossible to check the fires that were kindled, and many places were being destroyed. The terror of the people was indescribable. Fearful sights of a supernatural character will soon be revealed in the heavens in token of the power of miracle-working demons. Now, I had a person, you know, this terrible, awful, terrible, I mean, impossible to have enough superlatives to describe how bad that shooting was in Nevada. Awful. So I've had people off and on this week saying, Pastor, how could this happen? Well, in 2 weeks, when we talk about things having to do with religion, you'll find your answer. Because the Bible says that at the end of time, the protective care of the Holy Spirit is going to be withdrawn gradually from the world because people don't want God and because people don't want the truth of God and because God honors the wishes of people and never forces himself upon people gradually for at least two reasons, because that's what they want, and secondly, because trouble usually gets the attention of people. He's going to gradually withdraw ever more gradually and ever more swiftly his protective care. And so people don't have the restraint of God's Spirit because they have rejected it. When people reject the Holy Spirit, when they reject the presence of God, then they have no restraint against evil. They get worse and worse. That's why 2 Timothy 3 verse 13 says, evil people will get worse and worse. And we can expect that because God's Spirit is being withdrawn. See, right now, in this room and out everywhere in the world, there's two kinds of people. That's all, just two. I don't care what color their skin is or what language they speak. There's only two kinds of people in the world right now. There's people who are trying to get closer to God, and there's people who are running away from God as fast as they can. You can describe those all people in one of those two groups. That's true in here, and it's true out there. We're either trying to get closer to God, or we are moving away from God. There's no in-between. And if you're moving away from God, you have less of the Holy Spirit's restraint in your own behavior, and you have less of the protective power of God in your life because you're moving away from God. And the world in general is moving away from God, and so these terrible things are allowed to happen. And partly to get the attention of people, the Lord allows these awful things to happen because it causes people to wake up. And so my wife's mother called the other day. She said, "You heard about that thing in Las Vegas?" I said, "Yeah, it's terrible." She says, "I'm so glad we live in College Place." Now, she's very elderly, okay? She said, "I'm so glad we live in College Place." She's fearful about the things going on in the world. And to live in College Place makes her feel safer. And maybe I shouldn't have said what I did, but I said, "Mom, there isn't any place safe anymore." I said, "Remember what happened in Spokane just a few weeks ago, that school shooting that took place right there in that small school?" "Yeah." I said, "It's not just the big cities that are having these things happen anymore. It's happening everywhere. I don't suppose Sandy Hook would have been considered a big place, would it? You know, but that terrible shooting that took place there. These mass shootings are everywhere, just like the earthquakes are everywhere. There is no safe place anymore. Why? Because God's Spirit is being withdrawn. And we can expect to see these things happen more and more. Revelation, if you want to turn there. Revelation chapter 6, verses 12, 13, and 14. Revelation 6, verse 12, 13, and 14. So these, you've got normal scary stuff, then you've got super scary stuff, and then pretty soon you've got supernatural scary stuff that's going to be happening soon. One of these days, it's going to be supernaturally bad. In Revelation 6, 12 to 14, he says, "I watched as the Lamb broke the sixth seal." And that's just before the second coming. "And there was a great earthquake." So we're talking about one of those really great earthquakes. "The sun became as dark as black cloth, and the moon became as red as blood." And you say, "Well, wait, wait, yeah, that happened back in 1780, May 19, 1780, when the sun was black." Yeah, it did, but this is not talking about 1780. This is talking about the sixth seal just before the second coming of Jesus. These signs are going to be repeated that already happened back in the 1700s and 1800s. It says, "The sun became as black as cloth, the moon became as red as blood, and the stars of the sky fell to the earth like green figs falling from a tree shaken by a strong wind. And the sky was rolled up like a scroll, and all of the mountains and islands, all of the mountains and islands were moved from their places." Now that's a great earthquake. This is what the Bible says is going to happen just before Jesus comes back. And we are building up to that. This is like what's happening in our world right now is like the foothills getting ready to get into the Rockies. Or it's like the children singing in their children's choir just before the symphony appears. You've got these things that are happening right now that are telling us as Christians, wake up. Because pretty soon the Lord is coming. That's what these things are telling us. It's saying, wake up and listen, pay attention. Or like Jesus said, lift up your heads for your redemption, what? Draws near. Or he said, when you see all these things, like Mike read, when you see all these things, know that it is near, what? At the door. So the Bible is teaching us that we need to be aware of this. Now go back to Luke 21. Verses 25 to 26. So what is going to happen now with all these things? It's going to get worse disasters, more frequent. So what's going to be the result of that? Luke 21, verses 25 and 26. "There will be strange signs in the sun, moon, and stars. And here on earth, the nations will be in turmoil, perplexed by the roaring seas and the strange tides. People will be what? My Bible says they'll be terrified. People will be terrified at what they see coming upon the earth, for the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Supernatural stuff that nobody can explain. The powers will be shaken. And so what will be the result of that? There'll be two things, two really awesome things will be the result of that. Number one, there will be people who will turn to God with all their heart like they've never, ever done before. Can you say amen to that? And that coincides with the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which we're going to look at in a couple of weeks. The great outpouring of the Holy Spirit will coincide with these terrible things that are happening. People will be healed. Amazing miracles are going to take place. And people who, remember, there's two groups. And so people who are searching for God and wanting to get close to God, they're going to go, sign me up. And that's when it says that thousands will be converted in a day. Because conversion is not the matter of how much truth you know. It's a matter of how your heart is open to God. And when the heart is open, the truth just pours in. And they don't care because they want to follow God. And whatever the Bible says, that's what I'll do. It's when we don't know God and when we're not really tight with God that we start quibbling about stuff that he asks us to do. It's like, well, I don't know if I really want to do that. Well, I don't know if I really want to be like that. Oh, I think that's too liberal. I think that's too conservative. No. You know, I don't say to my wife when she wants me to run to the store and get something for her because she doesn't have that ingredient for something she's fixing, and she says, can you please go run to Fred Meyer and pick that up for me? And I don't go, yeah, I think that's too conservative, you know. I think you're being too liberal right now, you know, I really do. And you don't need that ingredient, just fix it the way it is, it's fine. No, you know, when you love somebody, it's like, you need that? Off you go. And so when you love the Lord and he says, I want you to eat like this, I want you to dress like this, I want you to live like this, I want you to go like this, you go, I'm yours, here I am, sign me up, I'm ready to go. Isn't that right? Because you love the Lord. And so two kinds of people in the world, when the heat is on, you're either a cake of mud or you're a cake of butter. You either get hard or you melt. And so when these terrible things happen, if you're searching for God, you're going to be ready to fly with the Lord. You're going to go, I'm with you. But if you're running away from God and you don't want God, then no matter what, I mean, this world could blow up and you wouldn't care because you don't want God. No matter what, you don't want God. So Jesus said, because all these things are happening, people will be terrified. And in that terror, they will turn to God, but then people will turn away from God. And these churches, our church, this church, and any church, is not going to be big enough to hold all the people that want to be here when we have service. This church is way too small for all the people that are going to want to come. We'll have to have 10 services a day when those things happen, 7 days a week, because there won't be enough time and enough space to have the services and the meetings that people will want to have, because they'll be searching for God. Well, you remember what happened in 2001 when the Twin Towers went down. The churches, boom, all of a sudden were full because people went to find God. They needed God. They were scared to death, and they needed answers, and they needed God. Because they couldn't find what they needed in people and in the security systems of the world. So they needed God, and they knew they needed God. And boy, just wait till these things happen. People will be coming from everywhere. So Revelation 12, verse 22. Jesus said, when you see these things, know that my coming is near, even at the door. Revelation 12, 22, he says, behold, he is coming quickly. He is coming quickly. And his reward is with him, to give to everyone according as his work shall be. Now, when people read that word quickly, they think, oh, well, that means that I can say that he's coming like next month or next year. No, what he's saying there is when his second coming occurs, it's going to occur quickly. It isn't going, when these things happen, they're not going to be long, drawn out, torturing years. No. Most of this stuff we're talking about, when it gets really bad, it's going to be a matter of months, maybe even weeks. Because the final movements will be, have you ever read that? The final movements will be what? Rapid ones. And so when Jesus said, behold, he is coming quickly, it doesn't mean you can say, oh, he's coming next month. But when he comes, it's going to be fast. He's not going to hold back. He's going to come. He's going to be like a mother bear coming to rescue his cubs. He's not going to let anything get in the way. He's going to come quickly. So when Jesus is, when it's time for him to come, he is going to come quickly. I'd like you to stand with me, and Eric and I are going to lead you in a song. It's 442 in the hymn book. 442 in the hymn book. How sweet are the tidings. So when I, you know, when I think about all these things, sure, it's serious stuff, but it tells me that the Lord is coming soon. And I get excited about that. I would like Jesus to come and put an end to all this mess down here. Wouldn't you? How sweet are the tidings that greet the pilgrim's ear as he wanders in exile from home. Soon, soon will the Savior in glory appear, and soon will the kingdom come. He's coming, coming, coming soon, I know, coming back to this earth. Open as wide as before, and the millions that sleep in the mighty deep shall live on this earth once more. He's coming, coming, coming soon, I know, coming back to this earth again. And the weary Savior comes to reign. There will meet ne'er to part in our happy Eden home. Sweet songs of redemption we'll see. From the north, from the south, all the ransomed shall come and worship our heavenly King. He's coming, coming, coming soon, I know. Coming back to this earth again. And the weary pilgrims will to glory go when the Savior comes to reign. Hallelujah, amen, hallelujah again. Soon if faithful we all shall be there. Oh, be watchful, be hopeful, be joyful till then, and a crown of bright glory we'll wear. He's coming, coming, coming soon, I know, coming back to this earth again. And the weary pilgrims will to glory go when the Savior are going to see the King. Soon and very soon we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we are going to see the King. Never gonna say goodbye, we are going to see the King. Never gonna say goodbye, we are going to see the King. Never gonna say goodbye, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we are going to see the King. Dear Heavenly Father, these things that are happening in the world are very serious, and the loss of life and the loss of home and safety is something that we as Christians are just so sad to see. Some of us have families and friends who have been involved in these terrible disasters, and for them it is all too real and very difficult. And we continue to pray, not just for the people of our own country, but for the millions of people around the world who are experiencing terrible hardships right now, who are suffering because of these awful things. Lord, help us to do our part to relieve their suffering. If we can help financially, if we can help by physically going to those places, help us to do what we can as Christians to not just talk, but to walk our faith. We ask that you please help us to be aware of these things and to realize what they are, that they're not just another thing on CBS and ABC and CNN. These are things that you told us were going to happen in your word, and you gave them to us well ahead of time so that when they would happen, we would see them for what they are and be aware of that your coming is near. So, Lord, help us to put it into another gear in our life and in our church, and to do everything we can possibly do to rationally, reasonably, relevantly share the second coming with people. Help us, Lord, to not be obnoxious or in any way conceited. Help us to be humble and lovable, but help us to be faithful so that we may live the life you've called us to live and be the light that you called us to be, so that when this world does end, as many people as possible will be saved. For certainly, we wouldn't want to enter heaven ourselves without having done everything we can to help someone else be there too. So, Lord, you know our hearts. You see the names of the people we know and love and care about. As we lift them to you in prayer right now, the people we work with, the people we go to school with, the people in our neighborhoods, our families, we mention their names to you in prayer right now. Save them, Jesus. Wake them up. Save them. Help them to see that the end of all things is near and that soon you will come. Help them to realize that there's nothing in this world so dear that could ever be compared with the value of eternal life. And may they be willing to let go of any sinful thing in their life so that they may take hold of you and be saved forever. We pray this, Lord, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.